Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. All right. Let's do it. Welcome into this Groundhog Day edition of Morning Invest. Good to see all of you this morning. And someone made a joke in our chat, because we are live, that Groundhog Day, it is appropriate on this Groundhog Day that we're talking stimulus, because it feels like we're just repeating over and over and over this back and forth in Washington. So yes, you are correct on that.
Or as
but
you
there
just
is
called
some movement
it,
this morning, which we will get to.
As you just called it a second ago, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day?
That's what you said, yeah. Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. That's what they call it in Germany. Groundhog Day. So on the show today, we're going to be talking COVID stimulus talks. They're going to continue. Republicans, though, look like they're holding the cards in all of this. It was a bizarre meeting last night at the White House. One of those, you know, dog and pony shows. We'll show you that meeting that unfolded at the White House with President Biden, Kamala Harris, and members of the GOP Senate caucus. No Democrats, just Republicans. So who's holding the power right now in these negotiations? And I'm wondering if President Biden remembers that he was elected. Oh, and Democrats also won Congress. Do you remember that? Also on the show today, two Republican members of Congress facing a reckoning this week. What's going to happen to Marjorie Taylor Greene? You know, the QAnon conspiracy lady who also thinks that 9/11 was faked. Also thinks that the Sandy Hook shootings were faked. Mitch McConnell has a few words for her this morning. And Liz Cheney. So two Republican women facing a moment in the Senate. What will happen to their futures? We'll get to that. Plus, happy Groundhog Day. Just a few moments ago up there in Gobbler's Knob. My favorite name for a town, by the way. I go to Gobbler's Knob. And see, it was sort of a socially distanced event. Where they had the groundhog. He did see his shadow. No one was there. No crowds were there. But he did see a shadow. That does mean, of course, this is scientific. I mean, this is science. This is absolute science. That he saw a shadow. This absolutely means that we are going to have 6 more weeks of winter. This is science, folks. Don't you ever discount this. Just like the Farmer's Almanac is science. We don't need actual weather reports. Just need a groundhog. So happy Groundhog Day.
Or like my grandfather used to say, you just hang a rope on the front porch, and if it's moving, it's windy. If it's wet, it's raining.
and if it's frozen, then you know it's freezing out.
Exactly.
Yeah. What more do you need? And if you can see it, it's daylight. If you can't see it, it's dark. Your grandfather?
Yep.
He's a genius.
Yep.
Absolute genius. Yeah, what do you need a weather guy for? And all these fancy computer models. Just hang a rope outside. I'll tell you what you do need, though. You need internet protection. If you're out there in the world, you need internet protection, because it's dicey. And that's where our friends over at IPVanish come into play. Now, IPVanish is a virtual private network. It's a VPN for short. And it's a super important tool to make sure that your internet browsing is safe. I mean, you do not need to have people snooping on your browsing, right? They can snoop in other ways, but there's no reason that they need to be snooping while you're browsing the internet. IP Vanish does an amazing job of making sure that your browsing is safe, secure, and protected, especially if you're on on a public Wi-Fi, you know, like you go to a Starbucks or something like that. You got to have your internet protected, your tablets, phones, even your Amazon Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Like if you're in an area, well, hey, you couldn't get access to Disney Plus or something like that. Why should, you know, you can use a VPN and get access to that kind of stuff. So go to IP and you're going to get 65% off by using our link because they support our show. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest because, you know, what you're doing on the internet isn't anyone's business but your own. Unless you're breaking the law, of course, and none of you would be doing that. But all of your data is encrypted when you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing. And all you need to do is watch the Edward Snowden movie to realize what government and the bad people out there are watching of us. Disgusting. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get 65% off. Yeah, isn't that an amazing movie?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is amazing.
Oh, he's so good. And the guy in Zachary Quinto that plays Glenn Greenwald, one of the great journalists of all time, played by Zachary Quinto in that movie. So if you haven't seen Snowden, go watch it. Gives you some insight into how freaking scary our government is and lies directly to our face on a regular basis. All right, let's talk about some stimulus news this morning. President Joe Biden spent about 2 hours last night over there at the White House meeting with Susan Collins and company. Group of 10 GOP senators looking to strike a scaled down COVID relief deal on both sides. The president, though, I thought this was an interesting moment last night. He said when he was there, he said, I feel like I'm back in the Senate. He said, I feel like I'm back in the Senate where, I this is me at my best, he basically said. Which was an odd thing to say. I'm at my best when I was in the Senate. You're now president of the United States. But it also offers some insight into how he feels about wanting to hang out with Republicans right now. It's kind of bizarre. Look, I'm all for bipartisan work. But at the end of the day, the Republicans lost this election in a big, big way. So how much do you want to give to the losers? Because these senators are looking to push forward a scaled down COVID relief deal. Both sides publicly and then privately said it was good and productive session.
I guess we'll see.
It wasn't like much, you know, didn't. I guess we'll see. Yeah, it didn't devolve into like a shouting match like it has in the past when Nancy Pelosi's met with Trump and they literally started shouting each other in the Oval Office. Remember that? Remember those days? But White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said in a statement afterward that Biden would not, quote, slow down work on the urgent crisis and response. And we will not settle for a package that fails to meet this moment, she said. So in the Democrats' view, the GOP offer does fail to meet the moment. It's $600 billion, not the $1.9 trillion that the Democrats are looking for. Even Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, newly sworn in, is expected to stand up and say and make the case for Democrats for a quick call to action. She's going to meet with their caucus today. So Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen about to call for major action on stimulus today. But last night, Susan Collins came out after the meeting and said it was productive. And I don't know if anything else was more accomplished or if this was just politics. Can we get an easier mask?
Yeah, I did. Good evening, everybody. We have just had a very productive, cordial two-hour meeting with the president and the vice president and some of their key aides to discuss the next steps on the COVID relief package. We outlined for the president the provisions that we have proposed as part of an approximately $600 billion package. He explained in more depth areas that were not fleshed out as much in the package, the $1.9 trillion package. And it was a very good exchange of views. I wouldn't say that we came together on a package tonight. No one expected that in a two-hour meeting. But what we did agree to do is to follow up and talk further at the staff level and amongst ourselves and with the president and vice president on how we can continue to work together on this very important issue.
I don't know. I'd say that maybe the American people hope they'd come up with a solution in 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours. But this isn't, you know, and 2 hours, let's be honest, this isn't 2 hours. This is like a year in the making at this point, right? I mean, we've been waiting on this stimulus package. We've been waiting on a meaningful, huge stimulus since last March. We've had these sort of incremental little stimulus. We have these extensions of unemployment benefits. It's an unfortunate freeze frame of Susan Collins there, isn't it?
This is just more filibustering, if you ask me.
But it's just, you know, to me, it's like a huge waste of time. Like, you could right now, President Biden, be passing reconciliation. You can be pushing Congress to just forget the Republicans at this point. What are you doing? Wasting time. Every day that you put this football, you know, you kick the football further down the field, it's that much further that you're going to be waiting to score a touchdown. Well, so why are you wasting this time right now?
And I heard another commentator saying if what Biden could do right now is he could go into the Republicans, he could say, hey, this is the bill. You guys go ahead and even with the other Democrats, you guys go ahead and not agree to this bill and you will not face re-election because I will go against you. And if you don't pass it, we're going to do budget reconciliation and get it passed anyway. Like he has so much leverage right now that he is not using.
I mean, he absolutely could say right now, exactly, here's the bill. Here's the $1.9 trillion. We're putting it up for a vote. You're on the record as having voted against it. Okay, if you vote against it, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do it anyway through budget reconciliation. Now, there's a couple of things that might not be included in this bill. Make no mistake about it. The reason that they want to pass legislation instead of the budget reconciliation process is because they can cram so many more things into the legislation. Pork projects and other things, infrastructure stuff and whatnot. Because if you just do budget reconciliation, it has to be money budget focused. And that leaves out a whole bunch of random things like studying the life cycle of kittens or something. You know, like that's the kind of stuff that ends up getting shoved in these bills by all of these different members of Congress. Because, you know, Texas Tech University will ask one, you know, their Texas representative, hey, we've got this thing where we're going to be studying groundhogs and we'd like some funding for that. Can you put that? Yeah, we'll get you taken care of, Texas Tech. That's how these things happen.
We got to battle Asian
carp. But if it's
carp.
Budget reconciliation. Yeah, exactly. Like in the last bill, the Asian carp that are attacking. So that's how that stuff gets in there. But if you do budget reconciliation, that stuff does not get in there because it's just, it's not a part of that budget process. So Congress always wants to do legislation, get all of these pet projects shoved in there. Which I'm, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm fine with because if they're going to build a bridge, they're going to build a bridge. Great. There's the bridge being built when all of these bridges are crumbling. Do that. If that's your pet project, great. You're going to build an airport. It's going to employ people. Great. As long as in that, we have that pork project of an airport being built. But in addition to that, we also have stimulus checks for the American people, an increase in food stamp money, you know, minimum wage going up, et cetera. So if you're going to do that, let's add all of that into this mix, can we? So where does this Republican deal come down? I mean, they're wide apart on this, on these numbers. So the numbers are, I mean, pretty laughable to begin with. If you look at how this thing shakes out right now, it was $1.9 trillion for Democrats, $618 billion for Republicans. And then the vaccinations right now, they have funding for that. Federal food assistance and boost child care centers. These are also in here, and the GOP ignores the $15 minimum wage that, of course, Senator Sanders wants, $15 an hour minimum wage. It also ignores, you know, gives less relief to schools trying to reopen, smaller stimulus payments down to $1,000, and it reduces the unemployment benefits. Senator Schumer says this is pennies compared to where we need to be. But other Republicans say, hey, we just can't afford that. And so, yeah, we shouldn't be spending our money smarter. Here is Jerry Moran, Republican senator. Listen to him.
Made the case for a smaller, more targeted approach.
I'm a pretty darn conservative Republican, and to spend this amount of money, I want to make sure it's going toward the relief of Americans.
Yeah, because you're always concerned when you're spending money that it's going to help Americans, right? So when you sign these massive defense bills and all of these other things, Jerry, and that money's going overseas, it's going to kill people in wars, you're really concerned with where that money's going, aren't you? I love this sudden, there's this awareness now about the American people. I care about the American people. Sure you do. Yeah, you really do. But other members of Congress are not so sure about this. And Senator Schumer seems to be, seems like Senator Schumer is more in favor of this than President Biden is. I mean, he was on the Senate floor yesterday making calls to have this pass as quickly as possible and needs to go as big as possible and as bold as possible.
Deal with three things simultaneously. Nominations, we're working to confirm more nominees this week, a fair impeachment trial, and delivering emergency COVID relief. We want to work with our Republican colleagues to advance this legislation in a bipartisan way, but the work must move forward, preferably with our Republican colleagues, but without them if we must. Time is of the essence to address this crisis. We're keeping all options open on the table, including using budget reconciliation. The first step to pursuing COVID relief legislation through reconciliation would be to pass a budget resolution. And so, in keeping our options open on our caucus call today, I inform senators to be prepared that a vote on a budget resolution could come as early as next week.
So, that's going to, you know, it looks like these parallel tracks are moving right now. And I'm excited about that. But, you know, I have to say, Republicans right now seem to be holding the power. Joe Biden won the election, and he's sitting back getting rolled over right now by Republicans. Having these meetings at the White House, putting on this little dog and pony show, maybe it was nice to be cordial. You know, he says, I feel like I'm back in the Senate again. The best of me is when I was in the Senate. Okay, that was a time when nothing much happened, and you could cram through crappy bills back then. Now you are the president of the United States. You won a massive election. And so did Democrats, whom you promised $2,000 stimulus checks, and you walked that back. So President Biden, now is your opportunity to go big. And it's supported overwhelmingly across the United States. In fact, Republican governors are coming out in support of it. Republican governor of West Virginia, by the way, throwing his support behind a massive stimulus package, saying that the people of West Virginia are hurting. Joe Manchin, are you paying attention? The Republican governor of West Virginia is calling on you to pass stimulus right now. Cheryl Hodge says, I disagree. I think Biden is living up to his election promise to try to unite the parties. Okay, but I'm fine with that. I agree that I think he's having this meeting right now in an effort to show good faith. They sent him a letter. They wanted to meet with him. He sat down with them on a snow day in Washington. Fine. They can have these discussions. But at the end of the day, if there is no unemployment benefits extension, which is shaved 3 months off, if there's no money for rental assistance, you're going to lessen the amount on stimulus checks. Great, have that discussion and say, thank you, Susan, I appreciate you. Thank you, Mitt, for coming over. But look, you know, I promised people $2,000. I'm not going to go down to $1,000. It's just not going to happen. Are there some areas of compromise? Great. So I like bipartisanship. Yeah, it's great when they can actually work together. But most of the time when these guys end up working together, you get screwed. Don't forget about that. When these guys work together, you all end up getting screwed. Why? Because the stuff has to get cut out. And the stuff that gets cut out is the stuff that helps you. You know, everyone wants to praise the 1980s when Tip O'Neill and under Ronald Reagan, and they would all get together in the Senate and have beers. You know, everyone talked about Tip O'Neill. You know, it was a good time back in the Congress in the 1980s. because everyone got along. They had dinner together. They'd argue on the floor of Congress, and they'd go have dinner together. They'd break bread and have a drink, and they'd all talk, and they'd get stuff done. But you know what they got done? Stuff that helped the wealthy. That's the era of trickle-down economics, the birth of trickle-down economics. That what happened? The rich got richer, and the poor got poorer. So this idea of bipartisanship sounds great. It's a kumbaya thing. But I think in the end, like if I'm over here and I want progressive things passed, you know, like I want Medicare for all, I want an extension or an increase in Social Security benefits, and then over here, you want to eliminate Social Security. And over here, you want to keep the the minimum wage at where it's at because you think it hurts businesses. And then we compromise on that. What's the compromise? We're miles apart on these things. And elections matter. At the end of the day, elections matter. And if we had more progressive candidates running, we would have more leverage than have 50-50 Senate right now, balancing on Joe Manchin, for crying out loud. But Bernie Sanders is driving this narrative. He's been everywhere over the past few days. He was on Chris Hayes last night, and he was specifically talking about this need across the country and why Republican governors are now weighing in on this, saying, please pass massive stimulus. Listen to Bernie last night.
As you've indicated, we are in the midst of the most unprecedented set of crises in the modern history of this country. And the governor of West Virginia understands that. I mean, we're talking about people who have lost their jobs, can't feed their families, Chris. People are worried about being evicted. 90 million people who are uninsured and underinsured in the midst of this terrible pandemic. We are losing 3,000 people every single day from the virus. Our kids are unable to go to school. You have a significant uptick in mental illness because of all of this separation that people, you know, can't be with their families, can't be with their friends. This is a terrible moment. And the governor is right. Now is not the time to count pennies. Now is the time to address these monumental crises. And I think what the president is proposing is a very good start in doing that.
What is your response to understanding of this group of nine senators on the Republican side who made this counterproposal at, you know, a third of the total cost and met with the president today?
Well, I'm glad that the president met with Republicans. We want to continue to have a dialogue, and there are going to be issues coming down the pike where I think you're going to see some bipartisan efforts. For example, Republicans understand that our infrastructure is crumbling, and we can create millions of good-paying jobs, rebuilding our roads and bridges and affordable housing. Republicans, or at least a number of them, understand that it's absurd that on some cases we're paying 10 times more than other countries for prescription drugs. We've got to lower the cost of prescription drugs. So there are a number of areas where I think we have the potential to work together. Remember, this is the first reconciliation bill. There'll be another one coming soon after this one is passed.
So this will be the first of a couple of these reconciliation bills. I hope that he stands his ground. And Ann in our chat says, Bernie Sanders, he stands for a lot, but then he folds like a lawn chair. Sometimes. But he also has not been Senate. He has also not had a chance yet to be Senate budget chairman, which is a big deal. So we'll see how much Bernie Sanders folds this time around. But he was one of the few that actually stood up before Christmas and held up the Senate in order to try to get $2,000 stimulus checks through. The only reason they even got $600 stimulus checks through is because of Bernie Sanders.
Well, and what's
and
crazy
Josh
is
Hawley and some of those bipartisan members.
He came out and to help Donald Trump with $2,000. Donald Trump lost his argument. So did Bernie for $2,000. They agreed on $600, and now Biden's fighting for $1,400, which is less than Trump. And taking Trump's loss as your down payment, like the losing, he's not even calling for $2,000, which is what Trump wanted. Like it's like you got to be better than Trump right now.
Well, and of course, you know, you're Biden, you're in the White House, and you're getting, as I reported on last night, there's a rift inside the White House which is that there are members of his economic council, Council of Economic Advisors, CEA, that are saying we don't think we should go as big as $1,400 because then there won't be money left over for other things that they want to get through, like states and local government money. And when you've got three different economic advisors in the White House telling you that I think $1,400 is too much, and you hired these economic advisors to give you advice on the economy, and they're telling you that $1,400 is too big, or it needs to be capped at a certain threshold, that's trouble. And by the way, we're going to means test this money. You know, one of the arguments that I think is I've heard over the years, and it's a really good argument about, you know, Social Security benefits and these other programs, is that there's no means testing for it. You reach a certain age, you get Social Security. Rich, poor, it doesn't matter. And so now we're going to means test who gets a stimulus check based on how wealthy they are. Everyone is hurting.
Well, when anytime they get together and try to do that kind of stuff, the people that need it most get missed. And that happened with every one of these stimuluses already. The people who need it most get missed.
Right, because they don't have their information on file, or they're unbanked, as the name goes. They're unbanked. They don't have a bank account. Fortunately, at least with the census that we just completed, that there probably is more awareness of these addresses so people can get a check in the mail. But you're right, there's about 15 to 20 million Americans who need it most that didn't even get their first check. These checks went out and came back. They went out in the mail and they came back. Or they got these little EBT cards or those debit cards, and people think that they're a scam, so they threw them away. So they never used that money. What a disaster. Again, if we could set up here's my solution to this. If we could set up a federal bank account, a Treasury bank account, which is something that Janet Yellen is in favor of, and I'll be really interested to see over the next few weeks what Janet Yellen does as Treasury Secretary, along with Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, what sorts of things they can put in place. Could we set up a Treasury bank account for every American? You'd log on to treasury.gov. You'd be able to see your transactions. You'd be able to get your child tax credits or your child benefits there once a month. Of over $3,000 a year, that's moving through Congress right now. There's broad support for that. So these families would get over $3,000 per child per year at like $300 per month deposited into your Treasury account. In addition to which, have the Treasury also put in stimulus until the end of this pandemic into that account. That way, every American has access to this. There's no mystery about who's, you know, checks are getting lost in the mail and people are throwing away these debit cards, and people could count on it month in and month out if we had this type of account set up. Wouldn't that be a miracle? People are saying this, your Imperial Majesty said the site would crash in 2 minutes. Yeah, they'd have to build it stronger than they build when they built healthcare.gov back a few years ago. But hopefully they've learned their lesson. And apparently the people that came in to fix healthcare.gov, former Google people, now are building this new system out so that it's way more user friendly and will not crash, hopefully. But Bernie, you know, pushing on this issue of bipartisanship, like, hey, that's fine. There'll be opportunities for us to be bipartisan, but at the end of the day, I don't really care. Because we've got to go big or go home on this.
But right now, what the Republicans are talking about is just totally inadequate to meet the unprecedented crises that we are facing.
So you just mentioned reconciliation, which is a budgetary process that has, I believe, formally begun in both houses. And because of Senate rules, it means that it is not filibusterable, right? You can simple majority bill. Brian Schatz, your colleague, said the following. He said, regular people don't care whether we pass something with 51 votes or 60. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Look, what goes on inside the Beltway is unfathomable. The many of us inside the Beltway, nobody in the outside world understands it. You want to talk about bird rules? Good luck. All right. The bottom line is the American people are hurting, and they're hurting badly. Oh. And Chris, what worries me is so many, by the millions, of our people are giving up on democracy. They really do not believe that the government is listening or understands their pain and can respond.
That might be the most important thing he said last night. I just want to highlight that and call that out for a moment. People are giving up on democracy. Because if we are this like shining light on a hill, this like beacon of hope on the hill, right, that Ronald Reagan talked about, then this is the answer. Like, this is what people should aspire to get to. They should try to get to a place like America that what literally turns its back on its people, doesn't provide health care, rewards pharmaceutical companies and big businesses profits over its citizens, cares more about lining the pockets of Wall Street. You know, this week shined a light on this mess with the GameStop scenario, or last week into this week. Now there's a push, of course, to regulate retail investors, even going so far as to call them that they had a gambling psychosis. Just because you went on Robinhood and bought some GameStop stock, you have a gambling problem, and we need to look out for you. While big businesses, billionaires have been able to do that for years and manipulate the stock market. But like this, I've seen so many people in my chat. How many of you have been literally thinking about moving to another country? Saw yesterday, some said, I'm moving to Canada. I'm moving to Mexico. So someone said the other day, one of our team members I used to work with, they just moved to Puerto Rico.
You know what's so backwards, though, with this thinking? Is if they would just come together and help the American people, the businesses, the banks, like, everybody would make money. We would spend money, they would make money, and it'd be this beautiful circle. But they think that they have to
do it this way. But they wouldn't make enough. See, you know, in Norway, you know, in these other countries, yeah, they take care of their people with health care. Right. They have these systems in place that actually prevent poverty. Right. No debt, free public college, Medicare for all, you know, a universal health care system that takes care of people. Oh, and by the way, during a stimulus, they actually provide stimulus money every month to their citizens. But the problem with what you're saying is that these big businesses are making so much money in the United States that basically they would make 10% less, 20% less if they were taxed, if they weren't allowed to walk all over the American people, rape them with this pharmaceutical prices that where you can pay the same thing. You can pay $400 for an inhaler in the United States and then cross the Mexican border and pay $3. So yeah, that all sounds great. But the problem is these companies want to make this much money. They want to just be swimming in cash. And so what we're saying is, hey, you can still make a lot of money, just not at the detriment to other people. And you might make a little less. Is that going to be okay with you? How many instead of these big businesses would go along with that?
Instead of a minimum wage, maybe we should do a maximum wage.
I like that idea. What would that be? Would Bezos be sitting on, you know, that's the thing. When you go to these other countries, like, the median, like, people are doing really well. They eliminate poverty. And those people that are suffering or have mental illness, they're taken care of. I mean, I want to get this message out there. I mean, the United States is a joke right now. And this idea that America is this shining example of what? We're not even the freest country in the world. Like, on what metric are we the greatest? Size of our military? Okay. Where does that get us? So we can kill people?
During a pandemic?
How do you feel about that? Right. Yeah. So we increase our military budget during a pandemic when no one's going anywhere.
You've got all these countries dealing with the pandemic, and we're still drone striking them.
We spend $800 billion during this pandemic on the military, when the biggest threats to the United States have been domestic terrorists. Like, we spent $800 billion on our military, and yet look what happened at the Capitol. We had the Capitol overrun with domestic terrorists. We had a group of, what, 8 or 9 of them arrested who were plotting to assassinate a governor? All online, planned, suiting up, buying armor, buying bullets, all online. Where's that money go? Oh, it goes to Yemen. It goes to Syria. This was a video that's gone viral overnight. It's been watched millions of times since last night. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about the Capitol insurrection and what it was like being trapped in there. She said, described it as, this is the quietest I've ever been in my life, you know, because she likes to, she does quite a bit of talking, standing up for what she believes in, which is great. But she said, it's the quietest I've ever been. This video is, I'll show, play a part of it here, is going viral this morning.
I hide back in the bathroom behind the door. And then I just start to hear these yells of, where is she? Where is she? And I just thought to myself, they got inside. It felt like my brain was able to have so many thoughts in that moment, between these screams and these yells of, where is she? Where is she? And so I go down and I thought I was going to die.
We're going to have a bombshell story on AOC on our Nightside show tonight. So if you're not already a subscriber to our channel, please subscribe to our channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can hit the little subscribe button. We do our show at 4 p.m. Eastern, also our Nightside show. I'm going to have a big story on AOC today. It's going to really rock the political world, and we're going to talk more about her. They've been rounding up a number of these people, these insurrectionists. One guy, I saw this morning, I tweeted about it. This guy decided to wear his company's jacket to the insurrection. It's like, it was called like Faulkner Painting Company, and it had the phone number on the back of the jacket. Like, he wore his painting jacket for his employer. Poor employer. I mean, I don't know if it's his company or not, but they were able to find him pretty quickly. Now they've been leveling additional charges, conspiracy, since a number of these people had conspired ahead of time. The FBI has just leveled up things significantly. The prosecutors did. Because now it goes beyond trespassing and to commit violence and all of that. Now it goes to the next level, which is conspiracy. So conspiracy charges coming now. That's the next level that's about to unfold with these Capitol Hill riots. But $800 billion a year for the military. Where were they? Couldn't do anything. They could storm into the nation's capital and destroy the place. Steal laptops from members, the majority leader. Like, who knows what's on those laptops that could be compromising information to the United States. But I'm sure our embassies around the world are heavily protected. What about the green zone in Baghdad? How's that embassy looking?
That's why I'm still sure argue protected. If they didn't want those people in there, they would not have gotten in there. I mean, that is the United States Capitol. I just cannot fathom that
we've heard from members of the military and members of law enforcement that have said zero chance that those people didn't have somebody working on the inside. And maybe that's why somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene should be a little upset about it this morning. As others have pointed out, she was leading tours the day before in the Capitol with the very people that broke in the next day. So two GOP senators are facing a bit of a reckoning this morning. And those two GOP senators are Marjorie Taylor Greene and Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney from Wyoming. Marjorie Taylor Greene is in the hot seat this morning because Mitch McConnell spoke out about her last night. And it I thought it was pretty shocking. I mean, so this week, two Republican women senators, or two Republican women members of Congress, are about to have a completely different week in Congress. Because over the next 48 hours or so, like, the fates of these two Republican women will be decided. And frankly, for diametrically opposite reasons. One, for calling on, you know, or espousing dangerous conspiracy theories, endorsing violence against Democratic members of Congress, talking about putting, you know, a bullet in Nancy Pelosi's head. The other, for standing up and actually impeaching Donald Trump for his role in the January 6th riot. So both of these women are expected by their Republican peers to have to, like, grovel right now. Like, they're having to call the Republican Party, get on the phone, and make excuses and apologize. Like, on the one side is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's the QAnon conspiracy theorist, who just won election, by the way, from Georgia, representative. She's made racist comments. She questioned, of course, whether or not the school shootings were staged, like at Sandy Hook and Parkland in Florida. She's also, all over her Facebook page, been talking about doing harm to Democrats. Now those posts have been removed. She deleted those. This week, though, she's been, like, kind of dancing around, trying to do a little bit of damage control to try to save her committee seats that she has. But she's also, like, been publicly warning Republican colleagues, don't mess with me. Like, Representative Adam Kinzinger, who came out and was openly bashing her. She's like, don't mess with me. And you know what? She probably has that support somewhere. There are crazy people who believe her. She, on the damage control front right now, she's already removed a lot of social media posts. She's contacted the mother of one of the 17 people killed at Parkland in Florida. And she basically had to get on the phone and be like, hey, you know, I don't believe the tragedy was a hoax, which she said it was before, that it was all staged. Like, what would go through someone's mind to say that? Like, could you imagine calling up the parents of, or just publicly calling up the parents of Columbine? And like, yeah, that whole thing was staged. Like, I know you lost your kids and all, but come on, that was staged, right? What would go through someone's mind to say something like that? Or to say the Sandy Hook was staged and that these parents and everyone were in on it somehow? Like, one of the most awful days that I can remember when I was in the news business, like, having to cover that story was awful. Marjorie Taylor Greene has also advertised Trump's support for her, like, retweeting it, talking about going to the White House, meeting Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader. And then on the other side, there's Liz Cheney from Wyoming, who is now facing a reckoning of her own. Because on tomorrow, the GOP conference is going to vote on whether or not to condemn her, basically kick her off or keep her on. And it's what's amazing to watch in all of this, as Politico reports this morning, is like that Republicans appear to be basically chiding Cheney more than Marjorie Taylor Greene, which tells you everything you need to know about the current Republican Party. Like, who effectively runs this party? Trump. And so you have Liz Cheney, who spoke out and impeached him. And then you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's, like, promoting conspiracy theories from QAnon and violence against other members of political parties. And Republicans, like, haven't really much said much about it. That was until last night, when Mitch McConnell came out with a pretty strong statement and called her views a cancer for the GOP. A cancer. Let's see if I can pull these quotes up here. Let's see if I find them here. He He said, Mitch McConnell said, loony lies and conspiracy theories are cancer for the Republican Party and our country, he said. Somebody who suggested that perhaps no airplane hit the Pentagon on 9/11, that horrifying school shootings were pre-staged, and that the Clintons crashed JFK Jr.'s airplane is not living in reality, McConnell said. This has nothing to do with the challenges facing American families or the robust debates on substance that can strengthen our party.
Isn't that like the pot calling the kettle black, though? Because isn't Mitch McConnell himself kind of a cancer to the Republican Party? I mean, if we're...
Oh, yeah, fully. Well, I guess it depends on who you ask. I think he's a cancer to the country. I think he's great for the Republican Party, keeping them in power.
Yeah, that's true.
However, I mean, hey, you know, I think it's clear. It's clear. I was looking at the data this morning. I mean, the reason that they lost in Georgia is because of Marjorie Taylor Greene. The reason that he is no longer holding the gavel in the Senate as majority leader is because of her and Trump. But the two of them combined, but specifically her in Georgia. Because those Republicans had to distance themselves from her as they were running for that Senate runoff seat. It really hurt them. They've had a lot of people ditch and jump and leave the Republican Party as a result. It's interesting, though, on the Liz Cheney side, because Mitch McConnell was asked about her last night. And on the Senate floor, here's what Mitch McConnell said about Liz Cheney, who's been, again, chided by Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans. Here's Mitch McConnell. He says, Liz Cheney is a leader with deep convictions and the courage to act on them. She's an important leader in our party and in our nation. I am grateful for her service and look forward to continuing to work with her on the crucial issues facing our nation. Wow. So that's your, you know, Republican Senate leader standing up for Cheney and crapping all over Marjorie Taylor Greene. So what happens next? You know, does the GOP strip Cheney of her leadership and then doesn't go and do anything against Marjorie Taylor Greene? Could you imagine that happening? I could. I could imagine they would literally strip Cheney of her leadership positions and then not do anything to MGT, as she's being called. And then Republicans would basically be tagged as the party of QAnon from here on out. So we'll be watching that tomorrow to see what happens with Liz Cheney, and then also to see if Marjorie Taylor Greene gets expelled, thrown out, or if she's being asked to retire. Think about like Al Franken. Think about other people that have like been with far less on their hands, been pushed in certain directions, and they retired. Like, hey, all right, for the benefit of the party, I'm walking away here. But right now, they're not able to get like really anything done.
It just speaks to how desperate people are for something different, for change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they would vote for somebody like this.
They're willing to take a chance on somebody that like that because they're like, well, you know, these other people aren't working. What, like, people are desperate right now. People are doing things that they don't, that normally wouldn't do because they're desperate. You know, there was a poll that showed that the majority of people voted in Georgia higher than any other candidate. It was 56% was because of the $2,000 stimulus check that they were lied to about. That's why they voted for the Democrats.
Yeah. And these, you know, and these guys can't even get a stimulus package through. I'd be curious where Marjorie Taylor Greene comes down on stimulus. That's the thing. If she supported stimulus, but still like supported QAnon, I bet she'd be as popular as Trump. But this is the type of thing that you're right. I mean, I think people are so, when Trump ran in 2016, he could stand up there and say, why are we in these awful wars? And there were so many, myself included, who that resonated with. These people that work at a factory in Ohio, they're like, yeah, why are we spending so much on going to wars all the time when I'm like losing my job and manufacturing is dried up here at home? Like, why wouldn't we invest in the United States?
I mean, when
and
your
that was
budget,
different, right? Because both parties love wars, you know.
When your budget to help people is less than the budget to kill them, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So this afternoon on the stimulus front, we could see movement with the reconciliation process. I think that President Biden is trying to see if he can have Republicans get on board with this, with some sort of a plan, but I don't think that's going to happen. So put forth this reconciliation, put forth a bill. If Republicans aren't going to support it, immediately move to reconciliation. But we don't even have a bill yet. So we don't have a bill coming to the floor at all yet. We don't have a framework. I mean, we have like a basic framework. It's based on the CARES Act back in the day of last year. But other than that, we don't have much else to work on. So we want to see a full bill or move forward with budget reconciliation as early as today. So Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, is going to be meeting with that caucus today to move this ball forward, which is great. Hopefully they'll all be on the same page. I'll be back later this afternoon at 4 p.m. I've got some interesting news on Senator Joe Manchin in West Virginia. We'll be covering that. We're also going to look more deeply at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on our afternoon show with a bombshell story on AOC that we'll tell you about later this afternoon, and we'll go deeper into that question, which I will tell you about. And we'll bring you the updates on what happens today with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and her meetings with members of the caucus to move this stimulus forward. So a lot of moving parts now that the snowstorm has subsided in Washington. They're back to work today, and I will have a ton of updates for you this afternoon on that front. Grover's looking forward to it. I should also mention we've got our daily newsletter. You've got to subscribe. It's totally free. We had about 500 people join last night to our newsletter. Here's what you do. You go over to morninginvest.com. Just put in your email address, and you'll get a welcome email within like a minute or so. It'll come from me, my email, and then just hit me back and let me know that you got the welcome email. And we deliver our newsletter first thing in the morning, every morning around 7 a.m. or so. We try to get it to you.
And also, I've seen some people saying like they signed up, but they didn't get it. They checked their spam. So you guys, if that happens, if you check and it's not in your spam or whatever, go sign up again and just make sure you pay attention to your email address and that you're putting it in correctly. I think I'm actually going to ask that an email verification field may be added in there because it happens a lot. So you guys just make sure you type your email address correctly. And if you're not getting it, go sign up again.
Yeah, we added a second layer so that you have to confirm. Like we send you confirmation that you have to confirm now because that was happening. A lot of people were mistyping their email address and they're like, I signed up, but I never got it. And they might have like typed gmail.co instead of .com or just like they missed one little letter. So we've really hopefully helped reduce the number of emails getting bounced back. But now you just need to confirm your mailing address. Make sure that it's typed properly, so that way that doesn't happen. Yeah, because we work really hard on it. We want to make sure that you get that newsletter first thing in the morning, and some good stories and a little humor, so you can enjoy your cup of coffee with us and some friends over the morning. And also, be sure to subscribe. Let's see if we can set a record for number of subscriptions to our channel right now. If you're not a subscriber already, please. If you're on YouTube, smash the little subscribe button. It's right down here in the corner. There's a little picture of our Morning Invest logo. Just tap that. And then turn on the little bell notification too. That way when we go live, you get a text alert. So you'll know as soon as we're live for our show so you don't miss that. We are live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And we've been doing our afternoon shows at 4 p.m. Eastern time as well. And I'm super excited about the new studio that we're going to be building. So if you are a channel member, like your actual channel member, morninginvest.com/join. We're going to be sharing some videos to our channel members only of the new studio build out process. And it's going to be a lot of work. I'm excited about it. I showed David the, David and I decided yesterday on the floor plan or which spot was going to house the new studio. And I am super excited about it.
It's going to look really cool.
Yeah. I can't wrap my head around like the backdrop yet, and I'm probably gonna have some monitors back there. We gotta brainstorm a lot of different things.
Yeah, I've already got some ideas.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm excited. I have to say, like, look at Bernie Sanders' set here. Look how good his set, when you have all these other members of Congress that look like crap when they're on TV. Bernie Sanders, I think he realizes he's going to be on TV a lot more lately. Look at his set and how good it looks and clean and his camera's good. Look at this.
That is what we have got to do right now.
So
look at that.
Yeah, that is good. I wish that I could talk to some of these people like Crystal Ball and you know, the people that are using webcams. I wish I could just take 5 minutes of their time and help them fix their shots, because it's like I get so,
yeah,
because that's what I do for a living. Sure, so hiding, I get so place. Like, dress up your set.
Right, like have something here.
Yeah,
like and this was where I am right now is a temporary spot, you know. But like, look at her, like Representative Katie Porter. Like, you know, come on, you're going to be on TV. You're a member of Congress. Like, do something nice.
Yeah, and it's not even that expensive. It's not even that expensive with a camera and a lens these days to look that good.
Yeah, like look at Bernie's.
Great millions, good pay.
Yeah, let me take this full. Look at this.
And jobs, rebuilding our roads and bridges.
Look at that. He's got, just some nice backdrops. The lighting is great.
Yep, that's pretty darn good. Just got a $50 super chat from Gary Quinton. Thank you so much, Gary, for the $50 super chat.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. Let's check in on some super chats here. I know you got to run. Anthony Davis, super chat. Thank you for your super chat. We, the people, should vote to cut all their checks. They don't want to help us. We should not vote. We should vote to not help them. Yeah. And you can vote them out. So tonight on the show, I'm going to be telling you in the 4 p.m. hour, I'm going to be showing you what's going on in West Virginia. And I am super excited, because if we move to get rid of Joe Manchin and progressives can move in West Virginia, like I'm making West Virginia my mission over the next few months. You know, a place that I used to live, a place that I called home for a couple of years, place I love. I love the people of West Virginia, and they deserve better than Joe Manchin. That's for damn sure. And so, yes, vote them out. Put in progressive candidates that would want to raise the minimum wage, stand for the American people, end these foreign wars, and invest back home. Thank you, Gary, for your super chat. That's very kind of you. Maria Linder says, will your petition be seen by President Biden? I hope so. I mean, we're sending it to the different members, congressional members' offices. And we're going to do a big social push for it as well. So with them in mind. So hopefully it'll get into those hands. I'm hoping, because it's got tens of thousands of signatures now. If you'd like to sign our petition right here on the screen, morninginvest.com/sign. Many of you already have, but if you haven't signed the petition for $2,000 stimulus checks recurring until the end of this pandemic, do it. Natalie Chavez says, David, you should hit up Crystal on Instagram. She responds to people on there. She's responded to me. Yeah, she's a good friend of mine, by the way. I'm trying to have her here on the show. I used to have her on my old show all the time.
Connect us so I can help her get her shot so she looks good. I'll help Sagar too.
Yeah, Sagar's looked pretty bad too. Nickel Sack Jack. Clayton, $1,400. Is it going to happen? Love the show. Patrick Brown. Is going to happen, he says. Okay, he says it is going to happen. Well, it looks like $1,400 is going to happen. I hope the $2,000 happens, and I hope it's recurring. Many Native American tribes, LL Balmer says in the Super Chat, many Native American tribes have disowned the bison-horned guy at the insurrection. There are some funny memes about him as well. The bison-horned guy. Does he claim to be Native American?
Yeah, why would they have owned him in the first place?
Right. Rob Jacobs, thank you for your Super Chat. Jeremy Gatto, great point, says in a Super Chat, going to be hard to mail checks to people when they lose their homes waiting for stimulus. Time to take the kid gloves off President Biden and drop the hammer. And maybe that's what he was doing. You know, like I like to always give people the benefit of the doubt. But at some point when they continue to disappoint you, you know, then you got to stop giving people the benefit of the doubt. So I hope that Biden is just being nice, cordial, the first 2 weeks of his presidency, meeting with Republicans at the White House, serving them tea and biscuits. And then, yes, hammer comes down. I hope. We'll see. Trevor Cleveland says, go vegan to combat global warming. Make a great point. the amount of processing of meat. There's a interesting documentary on Netflix called, is it called Cowtastic? No, what is it called? Oh, forget the name of it. But yeah, just to process like 1 pound of meat compared to like 1 pound of vegetables.
Well, a lot of people don't realize,
of course,
like
the ship.
We have chicken that we ship overseas to get processed and then ship it back. And it's cheaper than.
Yeah. Tyler Gillum says, I'm a progressive from West Virginia, and I feel really unrepresented. Also, cool shout out to Tim yesterday. Love the show. Tim IRR. I'm not sure who that is, but thank you, Tyler. Go West Virginia. I'm not from West Virginia, but I lived there for a number of years, and I was a news anchor for NBC News in Southern West Virginia.
Darren with a super chat. Yeah. I slightly lean conservative, but I enjoy the show.
Thank you. Look, I lean conservative too on spending issues, fiscal issues. I do not want us spending. But see, the way that I differ from conservatives in Congress is that I don't think we should spend $800 billion on war and a defense machine that we don't need. So Republicans love to pretend that, and conservatives love to pretend that they are actually conservative financially, but they're not. They're only conservative financially when it comes to helping you. They want to cut Social Security. They want to cut programs that actually help workers. But when it comes to spending, Republicans are all over spending. They love spending. Look how much it exploded under George W. Bush. You want to build nuclear weapons under Reagan? Go ahead. So I'm conservative when it comes to not wanting to waste money, like the way that I run my financial ship in my own house. I want the money that I spend to serve me properly, to help my family, help my community, help my employees. And I, you know, I'm not just going to send money overseas so that people can kill people. Like I just don't understand. Like, what is it today? I would love for you to answer me that question in the chat. And I'm asking this honestly, like, what does it mean today to be a conservative? What does that mean? And I'm not being sarcastic at all. I'm literally asking. I would love to know. I would love to know what it means to be a Democrat right now. I'm an independent, like, so I don't know.
It's kind of misleading when people are like Republicans are conservative, because they aren't conservative when it comes to war. They're just conservative when it comes to helping the American people. Like, if you look at all of the stuff they vote for, they are not conservative with a lot of the money. They're only conservative when it comes down to helping us with social programs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you want to help build a community center so that children of single parents who are in low-income communities will have a place to get educated? Republicans will say, no, not doing that. That doesn't help me.
Well, and to be fair, a bunch of Democrats, too, will get on board with that stuff. Just to be fair.
Oh, for sure. I believe they are one big, you know, corporate party. So Democrats, too. It's not going to help me. Oh, but here, I will give you money, Raytheon, to build a new factory, and tax breaks to come build it here in my backyard. Yes, we'll do that. That'll help the war machine. Yes, presumably it'll also bring jobs here, but, you know, these small programs that could help small communities and help. No, we don't do those things. We need to have charities do those things, and churches do those things, and people raise money to do those things. We have enough money in the United States. We shouldn't have to rely on charities so much to do and help people that are, you know, can't pay their bills because they have chemotherapy. Like, what? We need to raise money? We have to have GoFundMe to help this little, like, there was a GoFundMe for one of my, like, Eve in her kindergarten class or preschool class, or was it nursery school? A little boy got, cancer, like 2 years old or something. And they set up a GoFundMe, and we donated lots of money. But I'm like, this is America. We shouldn't have to donate money to help a child with cancer. That should be like the first thing on the list, right? deal with that in Canada, here in the United States. Cowspiracy, that's the name. Thank you, Bree. Bree Navarro says, hey, you mentioning going vegan made me decide to become a member. The Netflix documentary is called Cowspiracy. I highly recommend it. Check that. Yes, check that out. Honestly, that is the reason my sister became vegan, is because of that documentary. She was already leaning that way anyway. And she has a lot of animals. You know, she has a lot of cats and dogs, and she has chickens and the whole thing. So, that documentary, I think, pushed her over the edge. So, Darnell Hibbler says, Biden is extremely weak. We should have Bernie going in his second term now. The Democrats screwed him. Yeah, that is true. And by the way, how do we know about that? We know about that because of Julian Assange, right?
Yep.
We know how the DNC screwed over Bernie Sanders. And the reason we know that is because Julian Assange reported it through WikiLeaks. And he's rotting in a prison right now. And hey, President Biden has the opportunity to pardon him. Will he? Trump didn't. Trump didn't have the balls to do it. I thought he might.
Biden hates Snowden. Like, that was yeah. evidently clear. Or, did you watch the press conference I showed? Assange? Well, yeah. And Snowden. I got him and confused Snowden. There for a second.
Chris's top level media. Did you get my message on Instagram? Oh, you mentioned this one before. I will check it out. Oh, and you should have your kids watch Cobra Kai. Yeah, we watched the first... I don't think my kids... Well, it came out before they had seen Karate Kid. Now, Karate Kid was one of my favorite movies from the 80s. I don't know if they'd get it. We'd have to watch Cobra Kai. We watched like the first episode or two of it, and my wife wasn't really into it.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it either. Honestly, I tried. I was like, because I grew up with Karate Kid. I was like, I love Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi, all that stuff. I was like, this is going to probably be good. And then I was like, I couldn't.
It's why I started studying karate and would go to karate tournaments. And you know, I took karate for like 7 years.
That's funny. That's what I did too. I even took Okinawan. I took Okinawan Shorinryu. It was a...
I took Okinawan Kenpo.
Nice.
Isn't that funny? And I learned, I was teaching my son how to use the bow stick the other night, because that was one of the things, that was the weapon I had to use, was the bow stick. So I was teaching him how to do a bow kata with an up and, you know, around, and I was showing him how you could hit. My son was like, wow, you can do that, daddy? Like, I just picked it up and it, you know, it came back, and I was like, yeah, watch. I was like, you'd hit him here, then here, and then you'd... My son was like, you know, he's 10. He's like, I want to go get my lightsaber. Can we have a battle?
I was just going to say, get the lightsaber.
Yeah. So thank you for all your super chats. David has to run. He has to build a computer right now.
Yep.
George Shannon says, I'm a 22-year Navy vet, retired, and was proud of representing our country when I was overseas in two different ports, and now I would be hesitant to do so. I appreciate that, George. You know, like, my father, who just passed away last week, is a veteran. And at the ceremony this week, they were doing a color ceremony with the members of the military. And, you know, he served in Germany, in Nuremberg, you know, took over a Nazi barracks in Nuremberg where he slept, would run tank maneuvers all up and down and throughout Germany, just after World War II. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything as a just war, but when you look at, hey, we didn't have a standing military before World War II. We were attacked on Pearl Harbor and we mobilized. And we built a navy. We built an army in a matter of months. We built Higgins boats in New Orleans that landed on the beaches of Normandy in a matter of months. And within 4 years, we ended a two-front war in Japan and against the Axis powers in Europe, and liberated Europe. So this argument that we must have a standing army so that some guys on camels in the Middle East can hurt us is ridiculous, or even a fraction of what we spend the money on right now. So I don't know. And then we continue this war machine over and over and over again. Now we're in like 9 different wars right now that have lasted 19 years. And World War II lasted 4 or 5 years for us.
And we couldn't even pause it during a pandemic. We can be, you know what? There's a pandemic. We're going to shut this all down for a while. you know, and worry about the American people. We'll be back after the pandemic's over.
Yeah, we'll be back to bombing Syria or wherever. Somalia. We'll be back. Don't worry. But this year, we're going to take the $900 billion that we spend on bombing people, and we're going to invest it and help people in West Virginia and other parts of the country. That's how you show up that America's great, instead of the way that we act right now. Enough on that. All right, we'll see you this afternoon, everyone, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, and we will see you back here live later today. Good luck building the computer.
Thanks.
And Grover says, thanks, everyone, for thanks everyone for watching. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here later, everyone. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.